Well, let's open our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Today we conclude our series on Let's Have a Rock Concert. So we've looked at the different rocks. If the rocks could cry out, what would the rocks say? Well, we looked at that the last couple of weeks. And this morning I want us to look at the rock, not just any ordinary rock, but the rock, capital R. All right, so if you're in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, let's begin reading with verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. That rock was whom? Christ. Let us pray. Holy Father, Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for your spirit that brings clarity to your word, Father. And I thank you for wisdom and impartation of truth in all of our spirits. For it is in the inwardmost being of our souls that you desire truth. So, Father, we offer ourselves to you and we give you thanks for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so I was a kid, right? When I was a kid, how many of you know that I've lived a very saintly life? And but anyway, so I was up to no good. It was a Sunday morning. I was probably about 8 years old. I remember vividly. But did anybody that went door to door evangelizing? So I noticed that they were across the street at one of my neighbor's house. And I had a slingshot. You know where this is going, right, Lyle? Trying to picture it? Yeah, so I got some smooth stones, and I shot, and I didn't see any reactions from them. I think they were talking to the neighbor, and so I kept shooting, and I thought, oh, well. So I went back into the house, you know, didn't think anything of it. And then about 10 minutes later, my doorbell rings. Well, I didn't think anything of it. I looked out the little peephole and I thought, well, they're trying to evangelize us. So I opened the door. There was no evangelism happening. The guy was really madder than a hornet. He was really hot. He was red in the face. And he picked up the rocks that I had shot over there and he showed me the rocks. I was like, yikes. And he's like, you are a disrespectful young man. You should not be. And I thought, how many of you know there is hope in Jesus Christ for a changed life? Amen. Thank you. I needed that. I needed that reassurance from you guys. Lyle, don't laugh too hard. But so anyway, you know, the fact that he brought the stones with him, he must have looked at, see where they landed and picked everyone up and brought them. I'm like, what's the deal? Now, that was him. But did you know that the Israelites carried a rock with them throughout the wilderness? We're going to look at that this morning. Okay? Now, in our text in 1 Corinthians 10, I want you to see something. Here, what Paul's talking about is the wilderness wanderings of the Israelites, right? And he said that all the Israelites, you know, were under the cloud by day, pillar of fire by night. Now, that's a pretty cool concept. Let me just draw attention. If you're in the desert, how many of you know it's going to be pretty hot during the day? Well, that pillar of cloud was like an air conditioner. It swirled around creating air and ventilation for 2 million people. And at night, if you've never lived like in New Mexico or El Paso, Texas, the desert gets very cold at night. Well, what did that pillar of fire provide? Warmth, heat. So these people were there, and notice what it says here. Paul makes a remarkable statement. He says in verse 4, all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual what? Rock. Now we're going to look at why. And he goes on saying that verse, that rock is whom? Who is that rock referring to? Christ. We're going to see why Christ is referred to as rock. And note something there as well. Note that it's a spiritual rock, right? He said it's a spiritual rock. And notice, the New Testament was never, there are no capital letters in the original language in the New Testament. They're all lowercase, right? So why would the translators capitalize the word rock? Because that's not just any ordinary rock, is it? That rock is whom? It's Jesus, the rock, right? Not just any ordinary rock. And the last thing I want you to see, notice here, go with me just up to, well, they're in verse 4. For they drank of the same spiritual rock that did what? That accompanied them? That followed them? Did you know that Jesus, the rock, followed the Israelites in the wilderness? Isn't that what it says here? That rock followed them. Notice. So let's go back and kind of recap. Was it a physical rock? Spiritual rock, right? Right? Let's take note of this. It's a spiritual rock. Who is that rock? Christ. And what did that rock do to the Israelites? It followed them, accompanied them, right? Take note of that. That is important. Those three things, right? He's a spiritual rock. The rock is Christ. And Christ, the spiritual rock, accompanied the Israelites, all 2 million of them during their wilderness wanderings. Now, that's going to be very important for us to see this morning, because often we read the accounts in the Old Testament of the Israelites, and we think, well, you know, God was a mean God up in heaven, and, you know, Moses was the mediator, and Moses would intercede on behalf of the people, and this mean God he would relent his anger and his wrath. But that's not the way it was, you know, because Jesus was with these people. How many of you learned something new just then right there? Jesus himself, the spiritual rock, was with these people. Okay? Now turn with me, if you would please, to the book of Exodus 17. Exodus chapter 17. Church family, listen to me. Jesus was not just only around in the New Testament when he took on human flesh. Jesus appeared to people in the Old Testament as the angel of the Lord, as the pillar of fire by night, you know, and here as the spiritual rock. Jesus was not absent in the Old Testament. He was very present in the Old Testament, but just not with a human body and just not by the name of Jesus Christ. Okay? So now that we're here, Exodus chapter 17, let's read verse 6. This is the account, where the first account, because there are two accounts, Exodus 17 and Numbers 20, where Moses is commanded this first account to strike the rock and water would come out to cause the Israelites to drink, to quench their thirst. And in verse 6, he says, behold, this is God speaking. Well, actually, we'll find out who it is. Behold, I will stand before you there, where? Upon what? The rock in Horeb, and you shall strike the rock. He's talking to Moses. And what shall come out of it? Water that the people may drink. Okay? Now, notice here, what made the rock that Moses was to strike, what made that rock flow water? Huh? Christ. What did God say? And in this case, now with the understanding of 1 Corinthians 10:4, we know that it wasn't just God the Father. Who was the God speaking to Moses? Christ, right? He said, I will stand before you in the rock. So I ask you again, what made the rock cause water to flow from it? Was it a special rock? Was it a mysterious rock? What was that rock? Christ's spiritual presence, right? You tracking with me? Christ's spiritual presence made water to flow from that rock. Now, that's not the only isolated incident. It was not an isolated incident here because, like I said, there's another one in Numbers 20. But in this particular case, in this particular account, Christ told Moses, not strike the rock, but do what to the rock? Speak to the rock. But Moses disobeyed. Now, have you ever wondered, because it was this infraction, this sin, this act of disobedience on Moses' part that kept him from going into the land that he wanted to go into, right? God said, you're not going to go in because of this. But notice what the Lord said. He said, you have dishonored me. This is in Numbers 20. I'm just referencing it. He said, you have dishonored me in the presence of all of these 2 million people. You have dishonored me. How could God be dishonored by Moses striking a rock twice? What is that? What did that rock? Notice that was a different rock. But I'm asking you a question. Who was with that different rock? Christ physically? Christ spiritually. He's a spiritual rock, right? Right? You tracking with me? So what made that second rock for water to cause to flow from it? Was it a magical rock? It was Christ's spiritual presence. And this is what the Lord said. Christ himself said to Moses, because you have dishonored me in the presence of all of these people, you will not enter the land that I have promised to Abraham that his people would inherit. So, was it the rock that caused the sin, or was it Christ's presence in that rock that caused Moses not to go in because he, instead of speaking to it, he struck it twice? I wondered, Lord, that was too harsh of a gavel. That was too harsh of a judgment. That was too heavy of a punishment. You know, Moses, he struck the rock twice out of frustration and anger, but why keep him out of a land of promise when he has faithfully, and that's what Hebrews says, he has faithfully led your people out of Egypt and through the wilderness wanderings. Why now, off of one mistake, are you kept? Because he wasn't striking just the rock, he was striking whom? He was striking Christ. He was striking Christ, right? Okay, go with me to Deuteronomy, please, chapter 32. So Christ, one second, Christ is what? Christ is the rock. What kind of rock is he? He's a spiritual rock. And that rock did what with God's people? It followed them. It accompanied them. It's not just one incident or two incidences. Jesus accompanied the people throughout the entire wilderness wandering. Okay? Now, we're going to read a chapter or portions of a chapter in Deuteronomy 32. I know, be patient with me. I'm giving you a lot of scripture, but how many of us know that the power is in the word? Amen? All right, so Moses is about to die, and he is recalling the great miracles that God did in the wilderness. And you're going to see something very interesting as we read. So let me look it up here. It says, let's begin with verse 1. We'll read the first four verses. Give ear, O heavens, I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. Let my teaching drop as the rain, my speech distill as the dew, as raindrops on the tender herb, and as showers on the grass. For I proclaim the name of the Lord, ascribe greatness to our God. He is what? Oh. Where did Moses get this understanding that God is the rock? Wouldn't it have been from the different instances that rocks were involved? We're going to see that it was just more than the water that flowed from rocks that Christ was present. He said, notice, he is the rock, capital R. Once again, original language, there's no capital R. Why did the translators capitalize the R here? It's not talking about any ordinary rock in the wilderness, right? It's talking about Christ. Okay? He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are justice. The God of truth and without injustice, righteous and upright is he. Now, go down with me, please, to verse 13. Now, Moses is going to start referring to a person. Here he is referring to the children of Israel. Particularly, he says Jacob. But Jacob in this context is the children of Israel in the wilderness. Okay, so verse 13. God made him, Jacob, right in the heights of the earth, that he might eat the produce of the field. He made him to draw honey from the what? Rock. And oil from the flinty rock. Okay, notice here. God made Jacob, or the children of Israel, to draw honey from the rock and oil from the flinty rock. If you're taking notes, write this down. Honey refers to, in Hebrew terminology, honey is a reference to abundance and health. Honey is a reference to abundance and health. Now stop with me. So Jesus, being present with a rock, not only provided water to drink, what's he providing now? Honey and oil. And honey by itself represents abundance and health. And oil represents presence, God's presence, the presence of the Holy Spirit, presence. Okay? Now, why is that important? How many of you know that all 2 million of the children of Israel will not spring chickens? Right? There were old people. There were older people. And none of them were sick. Now, on occasion, God had to smite a few of them because of their disobedience. Right, Lyle? Yeah. He had to spank some of these people. But he provided for them abundantly, and he provided for them health. In fact, one of my favorite verses about what God did for these people is, you know, God never had to replace their shoes. Their shoes got bigger as they grew up. And they look great. Now, I love that verse because I would love for the Lord to keep all my shoes, my shoe collection. And if you were cleaning on Friday and snooped around, you probably saw my closet. There's actually two closets full. Did you? Did you sneak? Did you see my shoe collection? There was two shelves full of shoes. Like I said, the Lord provided honey, abundance, right? That was clever, right, Lyle? Okay, so let's go on. Who's getting some good out of this? Now, we're teaching. I'm doing a lot more teaching. I'm being methodical here, but I want you to see some insights about what happened. So the Lord provided honey from the rock and oil. So he provided abundance and health, and he provided his presence from the rock. So what was it that made these different rocks special? Christ. Christ's spiritual presence, right? All right, let's move on. The rock, capital R, made these other lowercase rocks special. Verse 15. But Jeshurun grew fat and kicked. You grew fat and you grew thick and you covered with fat. Then he forsook God who made him and scornfully esteemed the rock of his salvation. Wow. So obviously these people were they were rejecting the rock of their salvation. Didn't they do that for 40 years? Now, you tell me, is God patient?
Oh, yeah.
Because had it been me, it would have been 4 hours and they were toast. How many of you are glad that God doesn't have my temper? or yours, right, Connie? Hallelujah. All right, move on. And then we're going to see that the enemies of these people begin to collect rocks. So go down with me, verse 30. How could one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight? Right here, it's talking about God's enemies and war. Unless their rock had sold them and the Lord had surrendered them. For their rock is not like our rock, even our enemies themselves being judges. Now, what does that mean? Our rock is not like their rock. Their rock is not like our rock. Well, obviously, when they would go to war, the enemies of God's people saw these Israelites having encounters with different rocks because whose presence was present in those rocks? Christ, right? And so they, these Israelites, boasted about their rock, and the enemy began to collect rocks of their own, but the enemy said, our rocks, because how many of us know that idol worship in that at that time included inanimate objects? People worship trees, people worship the moon, people worship rivers, the Egyptians worship the rivers. Every plague that God sent the Egyptians, those were smacks and judgments against their gods. Okay, so that said, then what the enemies of God's people begin to realize is they conceded, they said, our rocks are not like their rock. Who was their rock? Right? Christ. That's why it's capital R, right? So their rock. Now, I want to close with this. Listen, I'm going to quote it. You can look at it later. Isaiah 51:1, very powerful verse that says, you are cut, you are hewn from the same rock. Isaiah 51:1, listen to me, you who follow after righteousness, you who seek the Lord. So is that us here today? I'd say so. Listen, and to the whole, no, it says, look to the rock from which you were hewn and to the hole of the pit from which you were dug. It says here, you are cut, hewn means you to be cut. You are cut from the same rock. The rock is the Lord. The rock is Christ. Listen to me, church family. The same strength that is in the rock of Christ is in you. Joe, I can't believe that. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4 says that we are partakers of God's divine nature. And the same strength that is in him is in you. The same rock substance that's in the rock, Christ, is in you. Because the Bible says we are living stones being built into a holy house for him. Are you glad, church family? The same strength, the same stability, the same fortitude that's in Christ is in you. You are a chip off the old rock. Yeah. Amen?
Amen?
Now you say, Brother Joe, isn't old kind of disrespectful? Well, we call him the Rock of Ages, right? Yep. Right? Listen, you have him in you. You have the rock living in you. Remember that next time when life gets hectic and chaotic, just tell yourself, you know, I'm cut from the same rock. I am a living stone. I have Christ in me. And because Christ is in me, I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength. Amen.